Hello, I'm Denisha Wright, and welcome to the Corporate Hustle Podcast, where we teach women how to excel in their 9-to-5, to build empires from 5 to 9, and then invest so they're making money 24/7. So please subscribe if you're interested in learning business tools and strategies that will help you build an empire and make you a true girl boss. Welcome to the Corporate Hustle Podcast. Hello, welcome to this episode of the Corporate Hustle Podcast. We are interviewing the awesome boss cultivator, Miss Jonna B. Stay tuned. It's going to be great. Okay. So, recording. So, let us know who you are and what you are about.
Yes. Well, my name is Jonna B. I'm a boss cultivator and a transformational speaker. And I love working with women of faith. Faithpreneurs especially, to help them really discover their inner boss, to be able to understand where business and faith come together, to be able to see themselves the way that others see themselves. A lot of times, unfortunately, we don't really see ourselves and the greatness that we have that other people can see. So it's really helping her to unleash her inner boss.
I like that. Love that. So if there is one thing that you would want us to remember you by in this life, what would it be?
Transforming lives. I know there's a lot of speakers, there's a lot of coaches in the whole nine, and I've come to realize that, you know, I'm not here just to talk to people. I genuinely care. Like, I want to see people's lives transform to the point that they are really becoming who the Father created them to be. You know, where you look back and you know that your life has been changed for the better and you're no longer believing these faulty beliefs that you have implemented, these lies that became your truth, but you really walk away and say, I can do all the things that he has asked me to do because I know that he resides in me.
Awesome. Now, you said you want to work with faithpreneurs and people who need to unleash their greatness. How will we know that we are not unleashing our greatness? How do we, you know, are there any signs to tell people you're walking in mediocrity?
Got you. Yes, because I've lived quite a few of these. So first of all, when fear paralyzes you, the opportunities come. You know how it is, Demetria. We pray about certain things. Oh, Father, help me to do this. And then when he brings it, we don't move. We allow fear to paralyze us. We allow that inner enemy to talk us out of things. When we start to self-doubt, and we believe these lies, these faulty beliefs, right? So we believe that we're not good enough, that we're not worthy, that we're not capable, or we start to compare ourselves to others. Well, so-and-so was able to do it. I'll never live up to that or never be that, and not understanding that we each have our own lane. And it really just be the best that we can be. And that's not always easy, depending on how you grew up, depending on what experiences you've had, what lies people have told you that you have bought. People don't understand how deep belief is with your mindset. Like, as I started to really cultivate my craft and started to understand the different things that take place when we believe and how we believe what we believe and how it impacts our trajectory, I was blown away. Just the simple things that, you know, let's say, because I know you're an entrepreneur, right? Let's say you never saw anybody in your family be a successful entrepreneur. Now you will always question and doubt whether or not you could be one because you never saw it. Or people will tell you, well, you know, it didn't work for me, so it probably won't work. Maybe you should get a job. I know almost every entrepreneur have heard that. Maybe you should get a job when you know you're being called to do and be an entrepreneur. So by being paralyzed by fear, by talking ourselves out of opportunities, by listening to the lies that we tell ourselves, we're allowing ourselves to stay in mediocrity.
Awesome. That's good stuff. So once you identify so everybody, of course, can't use Jonna, like everybody, you know, you can't coach the world. So what are some great characteristics or traits we should look for in business coaches, or would you consider yourself a life coach? Which one, and then what are some traits that we should look for when we're looking for one?
Oh, when you're looking, got you, I understand. So when you're looking for somebody to work with, I think what's really important is that they are genuine. that they genuinely care, that you're not a dollar sign to them, you're not a money sign to them, you're not another number. Because at the end of the day, if you have somebody who is invested in you and your passion, they'll be just as passionate as you are. Which means that when it comes time for when you're in your rut, right? When you're in your ditch and you're like, I can't do this, that person that come along and be like, get up, get out. Now, remember, we said we're going to do this. You got this to do. You got that to do. I know you can do it. I'm not going to allow you to lie to yourself today, Demetria. Nope, we're not doing that. Get up. Let's go. I love you. You know, but somebody that genuinely cares about who you are and your passion and your vision is important. That's one thing. Another thing, I think spirit begets spirit. Like, you know, you'll vibe with certain people and other people. They could be presenting the exact same thing, but it'd be something about that one that clicks with you. And you'll know it in your gut. Trust your gut. That's the Holy Spirit talking to you. Trust it and know that, okay, yeah, this is where I'm supposed to be. There may be the way they present it that may burst open for you and allow you to then grow and develop. It could be a little experience that one had that maybe somebody else didn't have. So finding somebody that's genuine, that's passionate about you as an individual, right? As a woman, as a man, that's passionate about your vision as well. Someone who is going to, you know, not necessarily hold your hand, but not, what's the word I'm looking for? Not baby you, in other words. You know, hold your hand and encourage you, but also be able to put the foot down when needed to help you grow. And make sure that spirit connects. I think that's extremely important.
Okay. Now, how did you decide that entrepreneurship was for you?
That is a funny story. So I never looked at myself as an entrepreneur, believe it or not. Even though my grandfather was one, my father was one, I worked at my brother's company, who is an entrepreneur. As long as I worked there in the marketing industry, I was there 17 years working on major campaigns, but I never saw it. And put it this way, I knew I would be a good businesswoman one day, but I wasn't your risk taker entrepreneurship type. I like them paychecks every 2 weeks. I like knowing where certain things are coming from and the stability. But I remember the day that our company wound up going down, we had to take a break. And that's when I learned that stability is in the father and not in the job. And at that moment, I started to realize that, well, Father, if I can do this for them, and I see the numbers because I'm working budgets, then how much more could I do for me? And I started to think about that because my husband is an entrepreneur and he's like risk taker all day. I'm like, let me test the water a little bit. He's like, no, let's just go. And slowly but surely, it had to be cultivated inside of me. So I went to an event one day about speakers, and that's when I realized that's what I was created for. I was the age of 35. And I was like, oh my God, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. And then he just started to show me all the times that I had been speaking and things that had happened. And slowly but surely, that's when I got Boss Cultivator. And I was like, I'm a boss? What? You crazy guy. Like, you don't see how my life is right now. You don't see how I'm doing as a mom or a wife or my home. And he was like, I didn't call you for where you are now. I called you for where you're going. And you have to, through this process, believe it, own it, see it, and seize it. And you're going to help other women do the same. And then I just had to step out there with faith. Has it been easy? Absolutely not. Has it been rewarding? Yes. Has it challenged the very fiber of my essence and being? Yes. I didn't even know who I was until I started this journey. And I started to realize more about myself, more of what I could handle, more of the lies I would tell myself that kept me bound for so long. And it's been an amazing journey. An amazing journey. And with anything that you sow, as we know, you're going to get a fruit.
Right.
You got to keep working it. Keep working it. Keep working it.
As you know, the word boss cultivate, I love to say it. You know, I love it. But what made you choose the word cultivate?
Got you. Well, when I started to think about what I done, what I did for those years when I was at GTM, it was a marketing agency and we ran national campaigns, a lot of cause marketing campaigns. When I think about the college students that came onto the campaign and by the time they were done and how they started their own businesses and what they started to do and the people that came under me, all the interns that came under me because I ran the internship program too, and just to see where they had gone, I started to realize that I had cultivated something in them. Because when you think of a cultivator, they're nurturing it, right? They don't just plant the seed, walk away. No, we're going to talk to it. We're going to water it. We're going to till the ground. We're going to break it up. We're going to get it fertilized. We're going to do the things necessary to bring out the best that's within that seed. And I just started to realize that's what I did with everybody that came when I had the opportunity to work with them. They were not the same anymore when we were done. And just to see how they went on to start their own business or went on to go after that job they never thought that they could get or do. And they call me to this day, Jonna, it's because of you. When you did this, when you helped me realize my goals, when you were allowing me to get clarity on what I wanted to do and to implement this or to do that, and the encouragement you gave me, everything I am right now is because of when I was under you. And that just warmed my heart. Because of the fact that I had a hand in somebody's life being developed. And that, it's like a high for me. It's like a natural high to know that that person is operating the way they're supposed to, so.
That's good stuff. Now, for corporate hustlers, mm-hmm. myself, or for people who are not in our world of online entrepreneurship, can you kind of talk them through what it's like to have a business coach? Like maybe like what a first session is like, or, you know, anything they would do to prepare for one or anything like that to help them realize that they would need one.
Gotcha. Well, for a lot of times, what I'm finding is that the people I work with, they realize they're stuck in at the place of frustration and they want to change. They just don't know how. And they're very unclear about how. They know maybe the end result, but don't know the steps to get there. So when we get together, the first thing that I try to do before they even come is find out more information about them, their business, their passion, so I can get a sense of who they are when they come. When they come, we start with belief, because again, what people don't realize is that what you believe impacts everything about you. I remember putting a post up one time that says your self-worth impacts your net worth. And it is true. How many times have we, especially as women, in the boardroom, wherever, sold ourselves short when it comes time to finances because we didn't believe we could have it or we deserved it? But then we don't think about the fact that what has happened to us, what we've experienced, seen, or heard impacts that. And it does. So we start with belief. That is the foundation. We got to get through that belief. We got to break up those lies. We got to understand what it is and where it's coming from. I make you face that truth. And then we replace that lie with a real truth to help you move forward. And then from there, after we kind of get through the belief and understand like where you are, maybe you've done that part of the process. Now it's time to own it. And owning is really understanding who you are and why you are the way that you are. It's coming into one's growth and understanding who they are as a woman and what they were created to do and called to do. So you're owning your very identity, because a lot of times we take on what people say we are, right? And especially as a mom, it's like, you're a mom, I'm a mom, I'm a wife, I'm this and that. But who is Jonna at the end of the day? When you strip away everything, so really understanding your identity. Then from there, we really go into seeing it. And with the seeing it part, it's looking at your goals, creating smart, what I like to call smarter goals, and how do you get there, right? So how do you get from here to there? And are the goals real? Okay, well, a lot of times we get overwhelmed by goals. We know this first of the year, we write the goal, how many people actually accomplish it? Because we made them too big, or not necessarily too big, but we didn't create the proper plan to implement. And we become overwhelmed, so we just don't do it. Versus bite-sized steps to make that change happen. And the season part, that's just dominating. All right, here's your plan. Let's implement. Let me work with you to help you implement what it is that you're trying to do. And that's kind of the whole process of what we do. And the component I realized that is important too is that I pray with my people. That's the first thing we do. The Father has to be in it. And I'm understanding that more and more, whether you believe or not, that He has to be in it, because then you could get that clear direction and guidance. So we pray first before we even start on belief, because we're going to have to break up some things.
Awesome. That is good stuff right there. And I love that self-worth is your net worth. You know, I'm going to steal that. Like, that's awesome sauce. Now, tell me what you have going on. Like, where can we hear you speak, or, you know, what projects are you working on? Just let me know what's going on.
Not a problem. I'm actually speaking this Saturday at the Hope and Truth Conference. It's going to be out in Decatur, Georgia at the Porter Sanford Theater. It's a free event. I think there's like 25 or 5 seats left because it closed and we had to open it back up. And I'll be speaking there. The doors open at 8:30 a.m. And I'm so excited because I love pouring into women. And it's a free event. You just need a ticket. Really excited about that. I have a workshop that I'm doing actually for a law firm on Friday. Really excited about that one, doing some training. And I have my first product that I'm working on, which is Believe Like a Boss. I'll be launching soon. Right. I was like, okay, I'm wrapping that up because again, it goes back to that belief. That's the core and the foundation. And in the future, I am working towards it. I'm putting it out there. My birthday's in October, October 27th. So that Saturday, the 28th, I'll have my first live event.
Saturday, the 28th.
Yep.
All right, let me know. I'm glad you told me that so I know not to have my event that day. Thank
you. October 28th, yep. And Demisha, I can't wait. I took a big risk recently and bet it on myself.
That's good.
That was challenging for me because that goes back to that self-worth. I had to realize that I am worth it. I can do this. And the Father just been pulling on me like, come on, Jana, come on. Come on. And finally, I just had to say, okay, I'm jumping out there wholeheartedly and giving it 5,000% of everything I got. And I'm looking forward to what's to come.
That sounds great. Now, tell me what you think the difference is between a mentor mm-hmm. and a business coach.
Okay. So for me, I think a mentor is with you longer, I almost want to say, right? So somebody that you go to for advice, somebody that is not necessarily a paid thing, but you've built a camaraderie. And so now they're interested in you in a sense of just your whole personal well-being and development, right? So they probably know about your family, sisters, whatever the case would be. And they're really there to help guide you in your journey. With a business coach, I think it's similar to mentor, but some of the differences are they might not be as invested personally in what it is because they're more so focused on the business and concerned about more so the business aspect. And then also, of course, there's payment that comes along with that. And in some cases, depending on the coach, they're there for a certain period of time. I actually, just by the nature of who I am, live in the middle. So I'm invested in who you are. I want to find out about your family. I want to know your children's name. I want to know their birthday because to me, that makes up who you are. And the better I get to know you as an individual, the better I'll be able to help you because then I understand you. Even when I worked at the marketing agency and I had all those clients, they were an individual first. I would call, hey, how are you doing? Before we get to business. If somebody died, I'm calling to check on them. It's not about business. I used to go, do you need prayer? That's how I dealt with my clients. And I had clients for years who loved working with me because I love working with them because I built a personal relationship. After we found out, oh, you're doing good. Great. Oh, happy birthday to so-and-so. How's so-and-so doing? Then it was down to business, but you were never money to me. And that's carried over into what I do. You're not money to me. I really am genuinely interested and concerned about you as the person and you developing and growing.
Awesome. Now let me, two of my last final questions.
Sure.
What is your definition of failure?
Funny enough about this. So had you asked me this question a few years ago, it probably would have been a whole nother different answer. But I have learned that failure really is not as negative as we make it. Like we think that we fail, the world ends, right? That means that you're not worth anything, that you're not good enough. When the reality is, it is true that failure is really just an opportunity on your journey to grow and expand. It's not an obstacle, it's an opportunity. And it's like on the job training, but it's on the journey training, right? At work, if you're not doing something right, let's say you missed a number or two when you're doing a budget, you didn't figure out how to do the copy machine, whatever the case may be, somebody comes and shows you, corrects it. You don't look at that as failure. You're just like, oh, I didn't know, or oh, I didn't know how to do that, or I forgot. So why do we make it so detrimental personally when we fail in life? Are you still alive? Yeah. Does that mean I have another chance to do it better? Yes. Does that mean I won't fail again in the exact same thing? No. But what did I learn from it? What can I implement this time around? What can I then help go teach somebody else in this area? So failure, I have come to accept and learn that is not this horrible thing. And I struggled for many years with fear of failure and fear of success. And I just had to realize, wait a minute. Okay, so what? I sucked at it. I didn't do as good as I wanted to do, as I thought I would do. But I have an opportunity to try again. And it's, I remember watching this video recently called, I forgot his name, but it was called Failing Forward. And it was talking about how because he failed, he was able to really achieve success because of what he learned and he implemented. And when you think about, from everything I've studied, when you think about all those who are the wealthiest, they looked at fear and failure differently. They looked at it as an opportunity of growth and a learning experience to not do it again. Most people who aren't successful look at failure as a stumbling block and almost the death of them. And they never want to try again because they failed the last time. So what? You fail. Okay, shake it off. It hurt. I get it. What did you learn from it? How can you be better?
Makes sense. Like, you know, in IT, they say fail fast. Mm. I want you to hurry up and fail so that you can get to the...
Fail fast, fail big. Get it out the way. So then now you can do...
Now you can be successful. It's gonna come. They just say fail fast. Learn, implement again really quickly. The last thing, what advice would you have for speakers? Because you're just an awesome speaker, so I wanted to make sure my audience just got some tips from you, or maybe some, hopefully when they're reading this, get some mojo from the words. But what advice do you have for wannabe speakers or future speakers? I'm not going to say wannabe because everybody's a speaker, so future speakers.
A few things. One, I've come to realize that we sometimes put speakers... And I actually started working on a package too. It's called Speak Like a Boss, and that'll be coming out later next year. What we don't realize that we speak all the time. We're always speakers. We assume speakers are just a stage, but you gave a presentation at your job, you're a speaker. It's time for an evaluation, you got to speak up on your behalf, you're a speaker. So when we take away the fear of speaking in front of people and realize that we are always speaking in front of people, you're always branding yourself, you're always representing yourself, you're always pitching yourself. You just don't realize it. Now, if you're speaking in a sense of, I want a platform, let me get on a stage. The biggest thing is remembering that you're talking to a friend. They're just like you. And that allows you to be comfortable. Pick somebody in the room and look past them. Look at points. Pick 3 points in a room, right? So when you're looking at someone, okay, let's pretend like their head is here and let's pretend there's a vase behind them. You're really looking at the vase. You're looking past them at the vase. But from their perspective, it looks like you're looking at them. And if you do that, then it's like you're working the room and people feel like you're speaking directly to them, but it helps you with your nerves. It'll help you calm down because then you won't be so afraid that you're looking at somebody and talking to them, you know, directly in the face. So that's one thing. Finding those points, finding those warm things. You can also envision somebody that makes you feel comfortable. Envision them in the back of the room and that you're talking to them. There are ways to trick yourself that nobody else is there and you can move forward. When you are speaking, being genuine, because the audience knows that when you are genuine or not, they can feel it. So being vulnerable is important. It's not the easiest, I must admit, but it is important because then when you connect with me, then you want to learn more. You want to know more. Well, wait a minute. She's been through what I've been through. Not that you're so perfect that I can never relate to you. Because if you're too perfect, then I can't get to the level that you're at. I won't have anything to relate to. But when I understand that you fail to, wait, Shauna, you're a boss cultivator, but you battle with self-worth? Yes. Sometimes I still do. Now, how much more relatable is that versus it seems as if I got it all together? Because trust me, I do not. I'm still figuring out a lot of things. So if you want to be a speaker, think about the stories that you've had in your life, the experience you have. That is all content, right? Those are stories that you could tell, and you could bring everybody in with a story for them to be able to relate. find people in the back of the room or points in the room that you can look at that will help you with your nerves when you're speaking. Try to be rhythmic with it. So when you're escalating to something because a big point is about to come, and then you pause and you bring it back down. You are engaging people and you're taking them on a journey. Because if not, we'll all sound like Ferris Bueller, Red Eye Guy. Bueller. And nobody wants to hear that. And always remember that you speak every single day. Your audience just changes. And what you're speaking about might change. But know that it is something that everybody can do. You just got to know what you're speaking on and give it your all.
I love that. And then to close, just anything that we didn't touch on that you wanted to tell the audience or you want to make sure that they know, let us know.
I would say the biggest thing is never forget who you are. Because at the end of the day, when everything is stripped, all you have left is you. You have to remember who you are. You are gifted. You are talented. Somebody is waiting on you to do what God created you to do. And you can do it. You can do it. You can do it. You are worthy of it. You are good enough. The things that he has given you is not beyond your imagination. It's not too big for you. Stop telling yourself these lies and do what he asked you to do and watch them doors open up. Watch him move things that you never imagined or thought. And you'll look back and you'll be like, man, I never thought I'd do that this year. But look, I did it. Do it afraid. That is so true. That doesn't mean the fear doesn't exist. That just means that you're doing it anyway with the failure, with the low self-esteem, but you're giving it your all. And I would love to help you on your journey. If you are stuck in a place, if you are realizing that you need a little bit more clarity, if you know that you need help unleashing your inner boss, understanding that first it's about spirit, and that's what we will work on, helping you to believe, own, see, and seize who the Father has called you to be. And with that comes the business. With that comes everything. But I have realized on this journey, Demetria, that you cannot have a successful business without him. And one does not exist without the other. And entrepreneurs need prayer. They need somebody to cover them. They need somebody to understand what they are going through, but also understand how to speak life into the situation they're in. Because you will have valleys with some dead dry bones. Let that client not pay. And Georgia Power at the door about to cut it off. It takes prayer. It takes favor. It takes faith. And I would love to be the person to help cultivate that inner boss.
Awesome.
Elevate their inner boss. Increase their self-worth. And you can find me at www.janab.com. That's JANNANCA. www.janab.com. I'm on Facebook and on Instagram at Jana B Speaks. So you can, and Twitter, you can find me there. I'm getting back out there on social media. We were talking about that last time. I got to get back out, and this is one of the first things to help me starting to get back out. I had a major life thing happen last October that knocked the wind out of me, Demetria. I've never been through in my life. And so it just took a minute to kind of find my bearing again. So thank you for listening to this episode of the Corporate Hustle Podcast. I hope you enjoyed. Be sure to stay tuned and always subscribe if you want to learn ways to excel your 9-to-5, to build empires from 5 to 9, and then to invest so that you're making money 24/7. I am Demetria Wright, the Corporate Hustle Podcast, and thank you for tuning in.